SBS Radio.
I was a teacher in Papua New Guinea, and then I determined to come back to Australia and be re-qualified in medicine, be that human or veterinary medicine, but it turned out to be veterinary medicine. And I was in general veterinary practice for some time, as well as medical practice, and eventually that evolved into what seemed to me the greatest need, which was to care for or provide care and medical management for wildlife who tend not to get the focus that I think they deserve. And so it's all evolved from there, and we've developed a service, a charity with a number of people, and we do train veterinary nurses and provide training for veterinary students, and we do a lot of community lectures and training for carers all over Australia and internationally.
So your work took you to Nepal from, I think, 2011 to 2017. How did that come about?
Yes, I had a friend, one of our veterinary nurses, who goes there regularly to the monastery, and she invited me to go and help because they were having trouble accessing adequate help for those patients that were in the monastery and others. So I went to Nepal several times, and after the earthquakes as well, to try to sort out the medical management of a number of patients both in and out of the monastery.
What was your experience like while you were there in Nepal?
Experience was fairly earth-shattering in that it's a beautiful place in some ways, but there are lots and lots of problems, and particularly lots of problems associated with animal welfare, which tends to be obvious, the lack thereof tends to be obvious everywhere. Those in the monastery try to showcase what can be done for animal welfare, but they've got a terrible, enormous job in front of them to do so. And I go there to try to cement that activity and also provide veterinary care as needed.
What are some of the common things that you saw were like, I wish this was resolved, or was there something that you really wanted changed?
Well, I guess the thing that you notice most of all is travelling through Kathmandu. It's a very common situation that there are little cows and calves and so on starving in the street, and they're eating plastic bags because they've got nothing else to eat, and nobody seems to take any notice of them at all. And of course the dog population suffers badly because they can't get any help either. And that's not to mention the other creatures like birds and sheep and goats in particular are regarded as a resource rather than a living being. Now that's not so in the monastery, of course, but just in general terms, I know it's a difficult place, but nevertheless, the suffering and the lack of welfare that you see is really earth-shattering.
What did you have to do?
Basically, trying to catch up with things like compound fractures of legs and dirty wounds and suffering from various other ailments that occur commonly. So that we did a lot of surgery to try to do what we could at the time. And the situation was quite difficult because there's not an adequate operating theatre, so we had to make do with whatever was there, and the lighting was a bit chaotic because it comes and goes. So trying to operate with a headlamp and that sort of thing was challenging, but not something that I'm unused to doing. It just it's really quite challenging, and the outcome, therefore, is a bit more difficult.
What will this OAM medal mean for you?
Well, I think it's a wondrous thing because it means that there is some official recognition of the fact that wildlife and other creatures and their suffering is important. And also, it's a recognition that the work that we do, our charity, and all of the people involved in that, who are all selfless people, we all work for nothing, and they give of the time as we do, and my wife Glenda, who organises everything, it's a recognition that what we do is worthy, and that's fantastic.
sbs.com.au